attention this morning, we're reading from Sri Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 3, entitled Talks Between Lord Shiva and Sati. Text 2 and 3. Ishtva sva vajapeyena Pramishtham abhibhuyachan Prihas Pati Sarvam Nama Samarhi Vikratutamam Ishtva. After performing Saha, he, Daksha, Vajapayena, with the Vajapaya sacrifice. Brahmistam, Shiva and his followers, Abhibhuya, neglecting, Cha, and Brihaspati Savam, the Brihaspati Sava, Nama, called, Samaridhi, began, Kratu Uttamam, the best of sacrifices. Translation. Daksha began a sacrifice named Vajapeya, and he became excessively confident of his support by Lord Brahma. He then performed another great sacrifice named Brihaspatisava. Please repeat. Daksha began a sacrifice named Vajapeya. And he became extremely confident of his support by Lord Brahma. He then performed another great sacrifice named Brihaspati Sava. In the Vedas, it is prescribed that before performing a Brihaspati Sava sacrifice, one should perform the sacrifice named Vajapeya. While performing these sacrifices, however, Daksha neglected great devotees like Lord Shiva. According to Vedic scriptures, the demigods are eligible to participate in yajñas and share the oblations. But Daksha wanted to avoid them. All sacrifices are intended to pacify Lord Vishnu. But Lord Vishnu includes all his devotees. Brahma, Lord Shiva and other demigods are all obedient servants of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Lord Vishnu is never satisfied without them. But Daksha, being puffed up with his power, wanted to deprive Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva of participation in the sacrifice, understanding that if one satisfies Vishnu, it is not necessary to satisfy his followers. But that is not the process. Vishnu wants his followers to be satisfied first. Lord Krishna says, Mat Bhakta Puja Bhyadika. The worship of my devotees is better than worship of me. Similarly, in the Shiva Purana, it is stated that the best mode of worship is to offer oblations to Vishnu. But better than that is to worship the devotees of Krishna. Thus, Daksha's determination to neglect Lord Shiva in the sacrifice was not fitting. End of parable. We read text 2. Ira vikshito dakshastu hamana paramayastina pachyapattinam sadesham hatyapatye smayo bhavat. When Lord Brahma appointed Daksha the chief of all the Prajapatis, the progenitors of population, when Lord Brahma appointed Daksha the chief of all the Prajapatis, the progenitors of population, Daksha became very much puffed up. Although he was envious and inimical towards Lord Shiva, Daksha was appointed the chief of all Prajapatis. That was a cause of his excessive pride. When a man becomes too proud of his material possessions, he can perform any disastrous act, and therefore Daksha acted out of false prestige that is described in this chapter. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prachayane Nevishesha Sandhavani Pasarasakarani Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Graha Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare. With the translations again, when Lord Brahma appointed Daksha the chief of all Prajapatis, the progenitors of population, Daksha became very much puffed up. Daksha began a sacrifice name, Vajapaya, and he became excessively confident of his support by Lord Brahma. Then he performed another great sacrifice name, Brihaspati Sava. So here, this Sati Yuga, it seems that Daksha's main business is performing sacrifices. Because in the previous sacrifice we heard in the last chapter, where Lord Shiva was insulted, this is he's done another one, and now he's beginning another one. And this one before that, I think Vajapaya Yagya, that goes on for 1,000 years. So how long? In between, so he kept that. He didn't forget that grudge he had against Lord Shiva for 1,000 years, more than 1,000 years. And now he's starting the new one, and he's not including Brahma and Shiva. Even Lord Brahma is, who is main support. Brahma gave him that position, the chief Prajapati. And but still it seems that he's not including Lord Brahma in this chapter. But we read these slokas as verses, we take them as they are. It means the commentators, they speak on the sloka generally as it is. So sometimes they say two things, they're speaking about one aspect of it. And then again it appears like a little contradiction later on, and they'll just speak on that aspect, never minding the there may be some seeming conflict. That is why, who was it was criticizing Sridhar Swami, the Bala, in Lord Chaitanya's pastime? He said, I've written a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. He said, it's better than Sridhar Swami's. He said, because Sridhar Swami is not consistent, he's inconsistent. When he writes the thing, he just writes according to that one. Then he writes something according to the next, another verse, you're right, and it may be even seemingly contradictory. So he said, because he's not consistent, my one is actually better, and Mahaprabhu straightened him out. So he said, I think that one who's not faithful to the Swami is a prostitute, because Swami also means husband. So Sridhar Swami, it means if you don't accept the previous acharyas, then you have no real ground, you have no real standing, so who, and no intelligent or person is going to take you seriously. It means devotional intelligence, that we know for devotion to Krishna, which is the purpose of life, then we're understanding that it depends on, obviously, Krishna's mercy. Krishna descends into this world in various ways. That it's his creation, but again, he enters into the creation. His chit potency manifests in different ways. The living entity is also from the chit potency originally. So then, the Maya Shakti. Then he enters again into this Maya Shakti. As the Dham, as the holy name, and comes directly, performs his pastimes as a deity. So within the material world, there's certain things that are actually spiritual. Srimad Bhagavatam is one of them. Srimad Bhagavatam is discussing pure unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It's makes that very clear. It's kicking out these other dharma, artha, karma, and moksha. This kevala moksha as insufficient. It's starting from that premise. So Srimad Bhagavatam is called the Amala Purana, spotless Purana. We're fortunate in the Westerners are quite fortunate. When Prabhupada came to the West, they didn't have any real philosophy. And like those, the more contemporary religions, these Upadharmas, there's only one book. There's one person, one head, and one book. Right? Islam and it's Christianity. It's quite simple. One small book, and one person. But in the Vedas, it's so overwhelming. You know? 33 crores of demigods. fortunately, we had the Srimad Bhagavatam. I say fortunately because in the other Purana, I was looking in the Puranic encyclopedia we have. Just all the different names and Sanskrit names and the people and what they mean and some of their histories. You go through that, and they're quoting all the Puranas. It's a good job we never had access to those other Puranas. Otherwise, it would have been really confusing. But Prabhupada's one time a life member criticized Prabhupada. He said, your followers, he said, they're almost offensive the way they talk about the demigods, Lord Shiva. Prabhupada said, I know, I trained them like that. He said, because the slightest little thing, he said, the foreigners, you know, they get into something, you know. But there's all kinds of histories there, you know, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva fighting, you know. Lord Shiva takes up one of Brahma's heads, he had five heads. So he got those heads, because he was so attracted to his wife, he couldn't stop looking at her. But he felt a bit ashamed to keep, so then he manifested four heads. One day she was walking in the sky, so he manifested another head on the top of his head, so he could always see her. And there's a story how Lord Shiva took that head. So, and then Brihaspati, the chief of the priest of the demigods, how he's doing all kinds of nonsense with other people's wives. It's ridiculous what goes on. So literally we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. It cuts a lot of that stuff out. You really don't know who's who and what's going on. But here we know that it starts off, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And then it's been refined by the different avatars like Narada Muni and others, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, these different avatars that and the acharyas, of course, that to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. This is the purpose of all of these scriptures, in fact. Remember Krishna means to remember Krishna and serve Krishna, not just to understand that it's not that you're going to go through all the books and get the ultimate truth. Asila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says the jnanis are on a wild goose chase. You know what wild goose chase is? It means it doesn't go anywhere. If you're chasing a wild goose, it doesn't go. There's no end to that. So there's no end to these. There's no end to the Vedas because the ultimate end is Krishna. That's what the Vedas I am to be known, Krishna says. But how can you know Krishna? You can't know him by the Vedas either. Not simply by studying the Vedas, you're going to eke out this. Krishna is revealed. Krishna is revealed, or he reveals himself out of his causes mercy to his devotee, the one that has a proper mentality and has a proper faith in that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. By the statements of the acharyas and Krishna's devotees, and acts accordingly. That means if one's serving Krishna favorably, then Krishna will reveal himself to that person, not another. You can't know Krishna, the person, his personality of Krishna, Well, you can know something just by reading about him. Otherwise, it's a question of intelligence from reading, and all these great Sanskrit pundits, they would all surrender to Krishna, right? They'd all accept Krishna and surrender to him. But they don't. They're just, Maya Pratya, the knowledge is stolen by the illusory energy. And they go on speculating for years and years and years. So Krishna will reveal himself to who he wants to, when he wants to. And he says that he reveals himself to his devotees. That's his prerogative. Otherwise he cannot be known. And one cannot understand the character of Krishna, or one can understand the character of Krishna through his devotees. By studying his devotees or understanding about his devotees, then one can understand the character of Krishna, and vice versa, because Krishna lives for his devotees, right? His activities are all centered around his devotees. He comes into the material world for the pleasure of his devotees. Otherwise he wouldn't bother to come. And while he's doing that, then he's attracting the other conditioned souls by performing these wonderful pastimes. So it's Krishna who is actually to be to be known. So we got that wonderful information before we were bewildered by all these other philosophers. It's very difficult for some of the Hindus to actually accept, because they're grown up, you know, from generations and generations to worshipping all the demigods, at least, you know, five or six on the altar. And they would deem it a great apparat not to continue worshipping them. It's been in the generations. And why not in that? But only when one actually sees everything in perspective with Krishna, then all these things can go on. You can worship with them here, you can worship. Daksha's right. He says here, this is our philosophy. Daksha's quoting, right? If you water the root of the tree, there's no need to water the leaves and the flowers. If you worship Krishna, Vishnu, there's no need to worship the demigods. There's some motivation here for Daksha, though, because he wants to keep their portions of credit of Lord Brahma Shiva. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. But Daksha, being puffed up with his power, wanted to deprive Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva of participation in the sacrifice, understanding that if one satisfies Vishnu, it's not necessary to satisfy his followers. It's our philosophy, right? We say that. Not necessary to worship the demigod. But here, Prabhupada said this is not the process. But according to the Vedic thing, then according to the if he's following the Smarti Vritti, then he has to worship the demigod. Everyone has to be worshipped properly according to their respective positions. But here if you're seeing them as devotees of the Lord, which they are, then it's okay. It's okay to worship them as devotees of the Lord. It's an apparat to worship them as independent of the Lord. Right? Equal to or independent or equal to. This is an apparat to consider the names of Lord demigods like Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma to be equal or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. This is offensive. But we see sometimes they get these people get carried away. This is Satya Yuga. And Daksha's carried away by his position, his prestige, his power that he has. All the demigods, he's a chief man. It's his program. All the demigods are coming to his program, right? It's his sacrifice, his yoga. He's been appointed by Lord Brahma as a chief progenitor. So he gets carried away with that. Huh? We heard yesterday about the danger of pride. Yeah, Prabhupada mentions pride is the when a man becomes proud of his material possessions, he can perform any disastrous act. So these examples are given here, and the stories are given in the Srimad Bhagavatam to give us the examples of the proper behavior, what to do, what is the correct mentality, what is the incorrect mentality. So therefore these histories are there, and they may not be mentioned talking about Krishna very much, Bhagavatam kicks out all cheating religions. Its only purpose is pure and unalloyed devotional service. But it takes some time because we're so dull. And we like to hear other things. We like to hear these exciting stories, romantic stories and political stories. We like those wars and things like that. So therefore it's presented like that, just to attract our attention to things that we like to hear. Then within that, then we'll get the purpose of putting it like this, that, you know, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as soon as one forgets him, as Daksha here, then it becomes a disaster. So life is disastrous if it's not connected with Krishna, because it has no meaning, right? If you come into this material world, this world of Maya, and you're performing activities for some benefit, for some betterment, right? Everyone is performing activities to improve their situation, but what is the result? Death. And then birth again, then birth. And so unless it's connected with Krishna, it actually has no meaning. Unless it's actually the life is progressive towards Krishna, then really it has no meaning. Only while you're in it, it has meaning. And then the result of that life is you've got a whole series of a whole bunch of karma to experience from that lifetime. And then you come back, take another body and experience that, and while you're doing that, you're performing these other activities, and then you're going to create new pot of karma waiting for you. So, but what is the purpose of it? What does it mean? It has no meaning. Right? Birth, old age, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. Going on and on and on. And no end. In every birth, we're trying to solve the problems of life. Everyone's trying to move to a better state of existence. Everyone. That's why we come to Hare Krishna, right? That's why we join ISKCON, probably, for a better state of existence. Most of us, right? At least we're probably one of the three, if not the four, one of the three pious people that come to Krishna. We all want something. We want a better state of existence. Natural, because the material world is oppressive. So, and that's how Krishna's designed. Now we come to Krishna. We're fortunate. That's why I'm saying we're very fortunate. We wasn't contaminated by, I'm saying contaminated because, you know, pious Hindu families, huh? Very pious. but because it's so pious and in the mode of goodness, from the mode of goodness comes happiness and knowledge. That sense of happiness is on something more prevalent than knowledge, than like spiritual knowledge anyway. So they're satisfied and happy, and why would they want to change their lifestyle? Because one is very pious in the mode of goodness, then you're better off than anyone else around you. You're better off than those in the mode of passion and ignorance. And you can see that. You know you're better off by your lifestyle, by your activities, mode of goodness. Mode of goodness, result is happiness. Peaceful and knowledge. So why would you want to change that? What is the alternative? Because the spiritual, the devotees, they don't look, you know, they're like another batch, you know. they're not very well understood. The devotees of the transcendentalists, they're not understood very well. So if we think the purpose of life is just to improve our situation, who would like to improve their situation right now? Life, material life. Oh, great souls here. All self-satisfied. But generally, that's what we're doing. We're always thinking of, you know, nice situation, right? Comfortable, better situation. Thinking like that. It's natural in this world. Spirit, soul, we're in the ocean after all. So, So what is the value of that? Well, ultimately, so the only value is that within those pious activities, you'll move in those pious circles. You're more likely to meet the saintly persons and the scripture, because that's the kind of circles that they move in. And then within that, you may meet some pure devotees and the spiritual aspects which Krishna descends into the material world. That's why I'm stressing that we were so fortunate. So many of us in the West were completely ignorant of life. And so Prabhupada just came and taught the Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like Bhagavatam. And didn't regard anyone else. Anything else was unnecessary. And we took it. But if you'd come from a very pious Hindu family, you've been worshipping demigods, it'd be very difficult for you to do that, to just put all those pictures at the back. You hear so many stories of devotees, Indian devotees. How long it takes them to put those other pictures and take them off the altar, or at least put them down on the lower level. And it took years and years and years, some of them, to convince their mothers and fathers. And we didn't have that. We didn't know anything. But the Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was saving grace. This is what happens in Kali Yuga. Amazing things happen at the most unexpected times. Anyway, the purport said so many instructions we're going to get from these chapters. Long chapters. It's a long story. So many different nuances which are coming out. We're seeing here. Prabhupada said this one we're gonna reveal how Daksha is actually proud, although he's on top. He's on top in the material world. He's practically next to Brahma. Brahma is Brahma's right hand man. He's appointed him to fill up the universe. He's right hand man. But still, because of his neglect of the devotees of Krishna, then he has to pay the price. Because Krishna, I was quoting now, Krishna says, the worship of my devotees is better than the worship of me. This is God. This is Krishna. That's why he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He says, the worship of my devotees is better than worship of me. Who could say that?